first and then cross to Mark chapter 4. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Jesus says at the end of his sermon on the plain, Luke chapter 6, 46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like, who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house, who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." And then flick back with me to Mark chapter 4. We're going to read verse 10 to 18. "When he was alone, the 12 disciples and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, 'The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable?'" Sorry, it went further than I wanted to. Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we reflect together on your word, you might be able to encourage us, strengthen us as we follow you, and also enlarge our vision of who Jesus is and what that means for our life. We commit this time and our ability to hear to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we head towards Easter, we are going to do a series of sermons looking at the parables and matching that, I guess, to the journey of Easter. Because the parables are like the cross. They hide and they reveal who Jesus is. Now, you would think that the role of a good teacher would be to make things plain. Teachers use illustrations. They often tell a story to clarify the point. And when we think of parables, maybe we think that's what Jesus is doing. He's telling a little story to illustrate a point so then everyone understands. But that's not what Jesus says he is doing. He's not telling a parable to help people understand him better. He's actually testing their hearts. Parables were a test. They weren't tests of how smart you were, but they were a test of how committed you were, or you are. They sought between those who want to follow Jesus and those who don't. And Jesus explained that in Mark chapter 4, verse 10. When he said to them, he tells the parables, "Well, the secret of the kingdom has been given to you, but those on the outside, things are told in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven." Jesus is actually quoting the prophet Isaiah chapter 6, and he's using that to explain why he teaches in parables. Isaiah 6 says that people's hearts were very hard, and when God spoke, they refused to listen to God's prophetic word. They didn't receive it, they didn't repent, and they didn't act and obey. And so God says to Isaiah, "It's okay, Isaiah. You're preaching, if you like, and nobody is doing anything about it. They're all actually doing the opposite of what you're saying. And I want you to do this so that they would hear and hear but not understand, look and look but never see." So here's Isaiah speaking. "Here are the people of Israel hearing and hearing but not understanding, looking and looking but not seeing." And that was happening not because God wanted it to happen, but because it was a blunt statement about the inevitable. People were going to hear the prophet, but they weren't going to do anything about it. That was because they didn't want to do anything about it. They didn't want to understand. And Jesus says, well, that's actually what's going on when I tell parables. So I tell stories, and some people might think they're little children's stories. Some people might think they're little simple things. And other people will actually understand it, the story I tell, and will refuse to accept it. That's what parables do. It's a sift between the people who want to follow Jesus and those who don't. Well, this little parable that I read today, the parable of the two builders, is one that would be very familiar. We hear it as a kid's story. It's even got a little song attached to it. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Right? It's got a little song. It's a kid's song. And we understand the story pretty well, or so we think. Now, in the modern world, I don't think any of us could comprehend why people would build build walls in a house without a foundation. So we're wondering, right, what kind of stupid person is that would put up a house and have no foundations? I mean, when we build houses, and you would know more about this than us, but when we build houses, we back up the concrete truck and we lay down the foundation, and that happens very, very, very slowly, it seems, today. And then eventually they put up walls and roofs and all the other things that it takes to build a house. And we know that when we build houses, yes, there is a serious cost and it takes a lot of time and there's a fair bit of investment. But we have no idea of what it takes to build a house for Jesus' time. I mean, one Egyptian guy at the turn of the last century, he said this. He said, when we build houses, it's a fearful exercise that comes at a significant cost and may even cost you your life. So it seems in the Middle East, at least, they understand that building houses isn't just hard work, it's nearly impossible work. Well, back then in Israel, they didn't have concrete trucks, didn't have regulations. And what they would do, though, is they'd build in summer, because in Israel, it rains in winter and sometimes it snows, and nobody wants to build a stone house in winter. Like, that's just stupid. So you will build a house in summer. Now, the downside of building a house in summer is that the soil, just like our soil, is clay. It's got high clay content. I don't know if you've ever tried digging a hole in clay content, but it can be rock hard. So imagine you're a builder. And you're a little bit on the lazy side, and you're about to build a house in summer. And you try digging, and you find out that the ground is unbelievably hard. It's rock hard. And so it's tough going, and the days are hot and long, and the time's getting short for winter to come. So you decide, well, this ground is hard enough already. I'm just going to build these walls on that hard sound. Everything's going to be okay. And so you put the walls up, and then on top of that, you put a nice roof and you finish that house before the winter rains come. And then the winter rains come. And then that year, it's rained a slightly harder than anybody could remember before. There's more rain. And this small stream comes kind of down the road and starts to run down the street and into your property and turns that hard clay, that hard summer clay, into this slick, sticky dough. And the clay at the base of the walls starts to get all spongy. And then the stones, which come from that field down the road, are uncut stones. They're all funny shapes, and they're held together by mud for mortar. And they're getting spongy. And as they kind of bounce up and down in that spongy clay, one after another, they start to bulge out from that wall. Then the wall gets this large bulge, and it starts to feel the pressure of the roof and the lack of support underneath from that clay ground. And finally, that wall gives way and it brings the whole house down. That's the foolish builder. Well, the wise, hardworking builder, he knows better. He knows that Israel has plenty of rock. If Israel has anything, it's got rocky soil. He knows that you just have to dig for it. And that if you're building in a valley, you might have to dig up to 3 meters to find that rock. And if you dig on an exposed hill, you might have to dig just a few centimeters. But if you're going to build anything, you're going to have to find that rock. And it may take you a heck of a lot of effort, but a good builder will build on a rock. This parable that Jesus tells, the one of two builders, one that's lazy, can't put in the effort, thinks that that stuff that looks hard enough in summer is going to be good enough in winter. And then this other one, which is a wise builder who knows doesn't matter what the effort is, I've got to put the effort in because my house will only stay up if I put it on the rock. Well, that parable was actually a story that is the prophet Isaiah had spoken of already. Israel was being attacked by Assyria. And because Israel is like this tiny little nation and Assyria at the time is like a global power, it thinks I need to get some alliances in place. So it goes down to the next best global power. Anyone know what that was? It's down south and it's called Egypt. So it goes to Egypt and they set up a bit of a defense coalition and Israel's like, phew, I've got Egypt on my side now. They will save us. And Isaiah rebukes them. He says, Israel, you trust Egypt and not God. And trusting Egypt is a waste of time. In Isaiah 28, he says that you've built a refuge, a house that will be taken out by the storm. Hail will sweep away your refuge. The lie and water will overflow your hiding place. But all's not lost, Israel, because actually if you put your trust in God, God's building a much better house on a sure foundation. This is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. Two houses, Isaiah says. You can build your house trusting in Egypt and it'll be taken out by the next storm that comes. Or you can wait for God to build the house on a sure foundation and it will never, ever be shaken. Jesus knows this story. He actually probably also knows that about 600 years after this prophecy, a small Jewish community called the Qumran community read that prophecy and believed that God was fulfilling it in their time. And the way that they thought that God would fulfill this prophecy, that he would set a foundation up where Israel would stand firm, was through 12 faithful men and 3 priests, that they would be the cornerstone that would hold Israel together and there would be a sure foundation to build a renewed Israel. They hoped in that. And then at Jesus' time, on the temple, Mount Zion, there was this temple and in the most holy place, there was no longer the Ark of the Covenant where the priest used to go and offer sacrifice. It'd been taken away when Israel was conquest at the conquest of Isaiah's time. So it'd been lost. But one thing that remained in that temple was there was a center stone in the Holy of Holy Room that was lifted up 3 finger breadths. So it was lifted up about that much off the floor. And what the priest would do, knowing that that was the spot that the ark used to sit, is the priest would bring the blood of the bull and the goats on the Day of Atonement and place that on that little rock, the raised rock. And they called that rock a sure foundation. A sure foundation. Isaiah chapter 28 is what was going through their mind, that God would set up a sure foundation one day in Zion. In other words, the priest was saying, this is the time when God will put the sure foundation down and Zion will be set up as the temple of God and once again Israel will be built and renewed and faithful and all of our enemies will go away. Well, Jesus gives us a third perspective, doesn't he? It's not 15 men who are faithful. It's not this raised block in the temple system that's going to be the sure foundation. Jesus says, hear my words and put them into practice. I am the foundation stone. Build on me and my words, and you'll not be shaken. What God has spoken about in Isaiah 28, and what the Israel people kept wanting, is made true, Jesus says, in me. Now, at a personal level, that's the kind of the message that little children already know about this story. Wise people build their lives on Jesus' words. Well, Jesus teaches us this, but he claims a lot more. And I wonder if that's why people rejected him. Because what he's claiming here is astonishing. It's like the fact that he's saying people no longer need to go to that temple. No longer need to go to that system that Moses put into place. What you need to do for God's future is you need to come to me. I'm the foundation God is building the future on. Now, there's a really significant difference, if you think about this, between the foundation that's needed for your garden shed, the one that's needed for your house, and the one that might be needed for a skyscraper. Currently, the tallest building in the world is the Burj Khalifa, which is the next line. It's a big building, so big it's off the photo. 828 metres. To put a building up that tall and to withstand 100 kilometre winds that they have in this desert, and they've built this one on sand, they have to put down 50 metres of foundation. That's a 3.7 metre thick slab that's as wide as it's in a kind of a leaf shape of concrete. And then they put 192 concrete poles or piles. That's what the engineers call it, going down another 43 metres. But this is serious foundation. And why is it so serious? It's so serious because it's holding so much weight. Well, I'd say to you that there's a real difference between Jesus being good for you, just you, and then Jesus being the foundation on which God is building his future on. If we only reduce Jesus as being the saviour for me, it's like you're imagining Jesus is the garden shed variety of foundation. But that's not what Jesus is. Jesus is putting the full weight of all of humanity, the full weight of the whole cosmos rests on that cornerstone. Jesus' words definitely hold me up. But Jesus is, as a person, and his words holds everyone up. Everyone who is alive today, everyone through all of history, everyone who is to come, if they put their lives on Jesus, he is a foundation sure enough, goes deep enough, and is strong enough to hold everyone, whatever comes. So why would you build your life on anything else? Why would you think that a new idea in 2023 is better than Jesus? Why would you listen to the claims of any other religion? Why would you even think that science knows more than Jesus? Jesus is deep enough and has a foundation enough to hold everything. Why would our church build on anything else? Why? There's nothing more sure than Jesus. And what does it take? What does it take to put that kind of foundation down? What does it take in your life? What does it take in my life to pour the concrete that's necessary so that you have a life that cannot be shaken. Jesus says this, hear my words and put them into practice. People rejected Jesus, not because they were dumb, but actually because they were smart. They were really smart. They saw that when Jesus said, let me tell you a story about two builders. One was wise and one was foolish. They were smart enough to think he's talking about himself. He's talking about changing our systems. He's talking about changing the way that we see God. They weren't dumb. They were smart. They were smart enough to see what Jesus really was saying. And yet they did not see. They could not see. They would not see. Because they knew that it would take everything away from them that they currently stood on. What about you? As we head towards Easter, we trust that the stories that Jesus tells, you'll actually understand. And you won't go away thinking, oh, these are children's stories. You actually go away thinking, these are terrible stories, surprising stories. That you'll see it and you'll know it. And you'll know that actually it'll turn your life upside down. And then you'll obey it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus and the wisdom that he has. Thank you that this story today tells us that the cornerstone of all creation, the foundation on which you're building the cosmos's, the universe's future, is found in him. I don't think any of us are really clear on what that might mean for us. But here's the thing, we only need to be clear on this, that we'll hear you, Jesus, and put into practice what you are saying. So this week, I want to pray a simple prayer for us all. Help us hear and obey. And as we do that, Lord, build foundations in our life that will not be shaken. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.